they say, you know what, this must be that one that was prophesied from the prophets. This has got to be that Messiah that we're looking for. And then he goes on, he travels the other side. Remember, they have that big storm, and he goes the other side, and he sends his disciples over, and then he goes and walks on the sea and gets there. Well, some of the people that saw the miracles on this side, they made their way around and on the other side, and they said, how did you get here? Because we saw the disciples leave, we saw all the boats leave, and you're here, and you didn't walk with us. How did you get here? They didn't know all that. And when you get down to verse number 26, he begins to talk to them and says, you know what, you're really not trying to seek me. You're trying to seek what I can give you. You're looking for food, not for the spiritual. You're looking for the physical, not the spiritual. And that's why in verse number 27, he's going to bring a point home to them. And watch what it says. Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him hath God the Father sealed. Then said they unto him, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? We're trying to do something that works the works of God. In verse 29, Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work of God, that ye, watch this next word, I've got it underlined and I've got it highlighted, that you believe on him whom he hath sent, that you believe on Jesus Christ. In verse 30, they said therefore unto him, what sign showest thou then that we may see and believe thee? What doest thou work? What dost thou work? And then in verse 31, our father did eat manna. He's going to bring this point home about the bread. Now watch what he says. Our fathers did eat manna in the desert, as it is written, he hath gave them bread from heaven to eat. Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not the bread from heaven. See, they thought Moses gave them that bread. He said, no, Moses didn't give you that bread. He says, Moses gave you not the bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. That bread wasn't because of Moses. That bread was because of God. And God supplied their food while they were walking in the wilderness there. And so that's what he's trying to give them, that point. My Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. Verse 33, for the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven. He's talking about himself coming from heaven. And giveth life unto the world. That's what he came to do, to give life. Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore, give us this bread. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. This tells him plainly, he that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth in me shall never thirst. So they sing about that just a second ago. In verse 36, But I said unto you that ye also have seen me and believe not. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. Nothing wasted, nothing left over. For I come down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which he hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me I should lose nothing, nothing wasted, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me. Watch this very closely. That everyone, how many? Everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. He finishes kind of his sermon there of telling them they've seen, they've experienced the bread that was a miraculous bread that's broken, fed everybody, nothing wasted, nothing left over, everybody was filled, and now they've transitioned over to seeing him say, I am the bread of life. If you will, I came from heaven, I came here, I came of the Father. If you will believe, then you can have everlasting life. That's what he's trying to tell them. Now watch what happens, though. I want you to see in verse 41 and then also down in verse 61, something happens. The Jews then murmured at him because he said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. And they said, is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that he saith, I came down from heaven? They heard, watch this now, they heard the absolute truth, but they could not receive the truth because the truth that they got didn't line up with what they thought and how they felt about how God works. It didn't line up, so they couldn't get it, so they begin to murmur and complain. Now, what happens is, he goes on in verse number 47, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. In verse 50, this is the bread which cometh down from heaven. Verse 51, I am the living bread which comes down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. He goes on and on all the way through here. And watch when he gets down to verse 58. Watch what happens. Once you see it again. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven. Over and over again, he gives them the meat of the sermon. Not as your fathers eat manna and are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever. Same thing. Believe and receive eternal life. These things said he in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. Many therefore of his, say the next word with me, disciples. This isn't just the Jews that didn't believe and murmured. Watch what's going to happen. Many of his disciples, when they had heard this, said, this is an hard saying. Who can hear it? Preacher, you preach something kind of hard. I don't know that we can understand it. We can get our minds wrapped around it. That isn't quite the way I remember hearing it coming up from a child. It's going to be this way. And I just don't know what to do with it. And so they said, this is a hard saying. Who can hear it? Verse 61, when Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured. Now the Jew, the unbelievers, the Jews, they murmured, but now the disciples murmured at it. And watch what he says. He said unto them, doth this offend you? And that's the title of the message this morning, is this, doth this offend you? Doth this offend you? You know, we live in a day and age where everybody is offended over everything. I mentioned that's just the day we live in. Christians are offended at the world because the world acts like the world. Let me tell you something. You shouldn't get offended that the world acts like the world. That's what the world does. They're lost. But Christians get offended that the world acts like the world. But watch now. But the world's offended at Christians because Christians are trying to convert them to the Lord Jesus Christ. So they get offended that you come and tell them about Christ, so you get off their porch, all those types of things. The Republicans are offended at the Democrats, and the Democrats are offended at the Republicans. And the media is offended at this one, and this one's offended. And you have just people offended over and over again. And if you have Facebook, I'll pray for you, but if you got Facebook, then and I've got it too, but you need to pray for us. But if you have Facebook, you'll find somebody will put something on there, and somebody will feel like they have just got to say something about it, and so they put something on there, and the person loses their mind because they got offended, and now you've got a war going on Facebook over somebody posting something about their puppy. You know, you got just people offended about everything. Everybody's offended with everything, and that's kind of the society we live in. But let me tell you something. For Christians, these disciples should not have been offended at what the Lord said to them. And for Christians, when you hear sound doctrine, when you hear Bible preaching, it should not offend you. It should make you get closer to the Lord Jesus Christ. It shouldn't offend us. But what the deal was here is they were offended. Now, let me tell you what offended means so you understand it. It means to be displeased, shocked, pained, annoyed. Or let me put it this way, it's getting your feelings hurt. It's getting your feelings hurt. And then sometimes we get our feelings hurt, what we do is we become angry, become mad, we become puffed up, we draw away, we quit. We say, I'm never going back to that church, or I'm not friends with those people anymore, or whatever it is, we get puffed up and we get upset. And so people have very strong feelings. People have very strong feelings about things. Can I tell you, some things are offensive because they're cultural. I thought about this, I was thinking about offenses, but some things are offensive because they're cultural. When you go to Thailand, if you lived here and you walked up to one of these little guys and you were to pat him on the head, say, oh man, you did a good job today, pat him on the head, no big deal. Now, if you did that same thing in Thailand, you've just committed an offense because that's offensive to touch somebody's head. So that's something that we do here. You'd go there and they're offensive. So sometimes offenses come because there's cultural differences. I don't care if somebody came here and they had a service dog and they brought the dog in, no problem. That's no big deal. We've had it happen before, no big deal. But in Thailand, what they do is you can come in with a dog and the dog just run around the whole place while you're having church. And somebody just bring their dog with them. We had it happen one time, and I remember thinking, well, the Bible says go to every creature and preach the gospel, so this is no big deal to me. But the dog just run around the floor in the place, no big deal. That might be a big deal here. I tell you what, if you went into a church over there with your shoes on, it'd be a big deal to them. it'd be offended. So some things are cultural. Let me tell you something else. Some things, when it comes to being offended, it has to do with your upbringing, what you've been taught all your life, or what your experiences have been. There are several things that I could mention this morning that maybe it flies in the face of what you grew up thinking. And let me tell you, whenever people come to church and somebody opens up the Bible and shows them what the Bible says, sometimes they can get offended because what the Bible says doesn't line up with what maybe mom taught them, grandma taught them, grandpa taught them, or maybe some experiences they've had in life, and it doesn't line up, and they can become very offended. So some things cultural, some things they've been taught, some things they experience. And so people have very strong feelings. When they come in, they have very strong feelings. The problem is, in this case, is they were offended at truth. Because this was truth. This was not something that was subjective. This was not something that, well, maybe it's a gray area. Nope, this was absolute truth. This was coming from God in the flesh telling them, I am the bread of life. I have come from heaven. I've come to earth. If you will believe, you can have everlasting life. But that didn't sit well with what their experiences were or what they thought and what they felt. It didn't line up with it, and so they became offended. It became offended. And in chapter 6 and verse 66, from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. He said, this is just way too hard. We're done. We're out of here. And that happens. And let me tell you just briefly, very quickly, let me go over some things about being offended by truth. There's actually a series in this that I wanted to preach to you, and I'll preach some more about being offended by some other things, and maybe even in church, but now we're talking about being offended by truth. Let me say this, we don't try to offend people by trying to offend. We're not trying to make efforts to be vulgar and rude and mean and hard and trying to be offensive to people. That's not what we're trying to do. The Bible tells us we're supposed to be a light in this world, and we're supposed to be the truth in this world. Now, we can be light and we can be truth, and that might be offensive to people, but we don't try to be offensive to people. We're not making efforts to try to be offensive. I was at a church one time, it was a while back, and the guy got up and he was preaching, and he said that a lady came to him from the church and said, Pastor, I finally got my cousin to come to church, and they've never been to church before. I've been praying and praying and praying. They're lost. They're living in a wicked lifestyle, and a particular wicked lifestyle, and they're coming, and they're in homosexuality, and they're going to come. And he said, I wish you wouldn't have told me that. And she said, no, I just told you, I want you to pray for them and hopefully preach the gospel and they'll get saved. Well, wouldn't that be a blessing? And he said, no, now I'm changing the message. I'm going to preach against some blankety blank. This is what he's preaching while I'm at the conference. He said, I got up and he just went off about how sorry just really vulgar and abrasive in the way he was saying it. And a guy in the back yelled, burn them all, burn them all. And I thought, you know, when I was sitting there, I thought, I never want to be that church. I never want to be that. There was a girl in there that I don't think she's ever been in church before in her entire life, was sitting in there. She came in her pajamas. I know she'd never been in church before. She sat in her pajamas, and she was looking around like, what did I just get into? I tell you something, we got to preach the truth, but we don't have to be vulgar and ugly and mean. You know what? People are dying in their sins and going to hell, but we don't have to be happy about that. In fact, we should be broken about that. And so we give truth, and that's what we're supposed to be doing. That's our job, is to preach truth. I'm going to just give you a few verses, but some of them you already know. But in 2 Timothy chapter 4, these verses you know very well. But Paul told Timothy, I charge thee therefore before God, the Lord Jesus Christ, that thou whom shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. You know what? There's a whole group of people that go to church today, and they won't go somewhere where someone will preach the word of God. They'll go somewhere where the guy will get up and tell them a story for 30, 45 minutes that makes them feel good, and then they leave. Can I tell you, there's a whole society we live in today that are offended at truth, and so they would rather, watch now, rather hear a fable. They would rather hear somebody come up with something that just makes them feel pretty good, and then they go back home the same way they came, never challenged, never growing in the Lord. They just go on with a kind of a weak carnality the rest of their life. Maybe they're saved, maybe they're not, and that's kind of the way they go. But he told us, what he's told us to do as preachers is to preach the word. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and what? Doctrine. This is not about my pet peeves, not about my favorite practices. It's not about my best stories that I've got that I can pull out of my box for the next hour. This is about preaching the Word of God. Amen. That's what we're supposed to be doing, preaching the truth. But let me tell you, sometimes the truth offends people. Sometimes it can be very offensive. Let me give you a few groups that sometimes get offended. Sometimes a religious or self-righteous or Pharisee group gets offended. They get offended. I would have had you turn there, but I won't. But in Matthew chapter 15, you can read it when you get a chance. Jesus does. He preaches a message to the Pharisees. He's speaking to the Pharisees, and he says, you're a bunch of hypocrites. Can I tell you something? When I see Jesus really getting harsh with people, you know the people I see him getting harsh with? Not the lady that was caught in adultery. Well, people I see him getting really harsh with are the people that should have known better. He calls them the blind leaders of the blind. That's the ones that he peels their hide because they should know better, and they're leading people the wrong way because they're taking their doctrines or their things that they think, their traditions, and making them into the doctrines of God. He says that's a problem. Now, let me tell you, when you preach the word, when you just get to just preaching the book, and what we do here a lot is we just preach through books of the Bible. Makes it very simple. That way, as I'm preaching through it, and it's just what's there in the verses, then you don't have to think, well, is he preaching on one of his pet peeves? Did he find this message for this reason? No, now it's kind of left up to God to do the work to apply it to your heart, because we're just preaching right through what the Bible says. But as you do that, now you're going to run across some things that, watch now, people have been taught things different ways, and so they come to a church, and they've been taught all their life that this is the way that this is done. And then you get up and you show them, you open the Bible, and you begin to preach what the Bible actually says, and sometimes people get offended. They get offended. I'm going to tell you, I've heard preachers preach for years. I love listening to preaching. In fact, if you go to my truck right now and you turn on the ignition, you're going to hear preaching. And I got CDs on the floorboard and CDs in the seats. I got CDs everywhere. I like to listen to preaching. I enjoy listening to it. I was listening to a guy preach the other day, and he was talking about being offensive. He was talking about that in his sermon. And he said something about being offensive. And he said, you know what, we ought to be offensive. And I thought, no, we're not looking to be offensive, but sometimes truth will offend. And he started talking about stuff. And he said the Bible says in Colossians chapter 7, Colossians don't even have a chapter 7. But he said in Colossians chapter 7, but what he actually meant was 1 Corinthians chapter 7. He said, the Bible talks about the fashion of this world will pass away or something like that. And he says, bless God, that's what the Bible's saying there is we got to preach against fashion. And I thought, that's not what that's talking about. And he says, this is what he said. He went through this whole deal. And you'd know him. And this is what another thing he said. He says, back in my day, he said, the Hollywood, everybody had long sideburns. And he said, so we told them they can't have long sideburns because you can't have the fashion that the world's got. So you can't have long sideburns. So then he said, then it got to where people were shaving off everything, so they had no sideburns. So then we changed the rule book and said, you got to have some sideburns. And boy, he's dogmatic about it. He said he had a kid come to their school, and he had had his hair cut real short and had no sideburns at all. It was just kind of shaved up there. And he said when the kid got to school, he told that mama, said, that kid ain't coming to school here. And she said, why? What in the world's the problem? He said, he ain't got sideburns. Right here in our rule book, he has got to have sideburns. He looks too much like Hollywood right now. And so she said, well, what do I do? It's today's first day of school. What do I do? And he said, leave him with me. I'll take him to the barbershop, and I'm going to get this thing fixed up. And so he said he took him, and he made the barber shave his head bald way above his ear so that it looked like he had a little bit of a sideburn right down over here. Now, let me tell you something. That's just dumb. That's just dumb. But see, people come to a church, and they have been taught these things all their life. and they come in and they think that's the way it's got to be. And then you get up and preach what the Bible actually says about some of those verses, and they go, wait a minute, that's not what Dr. So-and-so told me that verse meant. And they get offended and they say, you're not hard enough, or you're not this enough, or you're not that enough. I'm out of here. I'm offended. But what you're preaching, watch now, is what? The truth. The truth. And when you preach the truth, sometimes people don't like the truth. The Pharisees get a little upset. But then you have another group that I know that gets upset, is sometimes the lost people get upset when you preach the truth. I went somewhere one time. I'm glad Brother Mickey's here. Pastor Robinson's here. One time I was going, me and Pastor Miller, who's in the back room, we were going around knocking on some doors, and we were talking to somebody. I think it was when I was an associate pastor here. We were knocking on the doors, and a lady came to the door, and she said, I said, we're from Victory Baptist Church. She says, I know that church. Well, she was mad. I know that church. And I said, well, good. Why don't you come visit us again? She says, I'll never be back to that church. I said, well, why? What happened? Did something happen? Did you have a bad time? Somebody said something bad? She said, I would have you to know that that preacher, he preached on hell and said people go there if they're not saved. And I was like, hallelujah, that's good, you know. That's good. I'm glad that you went somewhere where someone told you that if you died in your sins, there is a punishment coming for you not receiving the Lord Jesus Christ. And she said, well, I'm going to tell you the truth. We were scared, and my kids were scared. And I'm thinking, once again, hallelujah. You know, we're not trying. I know him. I don't know of him ever trying to be vulgar or offensive that I've ever heard him preach. But what he is trying to preach is what now? The truth. The truth. And sometimes when you tell people the truth, even if you lovingly tell them the truth, they can get offended. They can get offended. The Bible's very clear. Watch now. I want you to see it. We have all sinned. In Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. In Romans 6:23, again, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Watch this now. This one will offend somebody. There is only one way to heaven. But he says, well, I think there's many roads. If you're an Oprah follower, there's many roads to get there. But if you're a Bible believer, there's only one way to heaven. He says, I am, in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And so there's only one way. I tell you this, forgiveness for sins and eternal life is found through belief in the Lord Jesus Christ and Him alone. Not by any works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercies He saved us. For by grace are you saved through what? Say it. Faith, and that not of yourselves, a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. It's not our good deeds. It's not the fact that I joined a certain such church. It's not the fact that I got baptized when I was a baby. None of those religious things will save you. It's you putting your faith and trust in Jesus Christ and Him alone. That's it. I was here 1 year, and it was back when I was associate pastor. Nothing bad ever happened after I became the pastor. I don't know what the deal was. But I was associate pastor. I preached, and a lady came, and she was sitting in the front row, and she said, here's my 12-year-old daughter, and she wants to get baptized. And I said, praise the Lord. That's good. You know, we're all for that. I said, that'd be great. I said, is she saved? She says, well, she sings songs about Jesus all the time. And I said, well, yeah, but I mean, what I'm asking you is, as she put her faith and trust in Jesus Christ, and I could tell it bothered her. So I was standing up, she was sitting down, and I felt like I was menacing over the top of her. So I even did this. I got on my knees in front of her so that I'd be lower than what she was so I could talk to her, and she wouldn't feel like I was trying to just lord over her or something. And so I began to talk to her about what she said. Well, she's 12 years old. It's time for her to get baptized. And I said, baptism always comes after salvation. You have to put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, and afterwards you have baptism. I can take you through every verse all the way through the New Testament and show you that it's always after, never before. It's never when you reach a certain age we baptize them. I said, and she got so upset she began to cry, and her husband said, let's just get out of here. And they left. I tell you what, they were offended by truth. Now, we weren't trying to be offensive. In fact, I went out of my way to make sure she was not offended, but she was offended by truth. Why? Because somebody had told them all their life something, but they had never seen it in the Bible. And when someone opened the Bible said something different than what they had been told, and they didn't know what to do with that. So the best thing to do is just run away. That's what the disciples did. So that sometimes happens with people. But the last one is this. Sometimes truth offends church members. Sometimes it offends church members. So a preacher will get up and preach on submission. Somebody will say, wait just a minute. I don't like that word. If I could take a word out of the Bible, I'd take that word out. I know. Sometimes there's a lot of things that I don't like about the Bible, but it doesn't change the fact that it is what? Say it again. Truth. Truth. So the Bible talks about, somebody says submission. I ain't never going back to that church again. Somebody says give. I ain't never going back to that church again. Why? I was offended. He talked about giving. Somebody says, you know what? Forgive. Forgive. Well, you don't know what I've been through, and I'm not going to forgive. Can I tell you something? There's nothing that you could go through that could be worse than what Jesus Christ went through on the cross. And he's there to help you through anything you're going through, to help you get through forgiveness and issues that you've got going on in your life. But somebody says, well, he told me to forgive. He doesn't know what I'm going through. I'm offended. I'm gone. This happens. Somebody be told this. The Bible says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. That is in its context. That is the right terminology for that. And it says we need to watch what we're saying with our mouths. Somebody says, bless God, I don't like the fact you telling me that I shouldn't be doing this and this. I'll never be back to that church again. Church members even become offended with what? Say it again. Truth. They can become offended with truth. You say, well, how does that happen? Where does this come from? I'll give you a couple things that I think it comes from. Sometimes it comes from pride. How dare you tell me anything? I don't want to hear nothing. Sometimes it comes from our own puffed up pride problems. Sometimes it's a lack of maturity. Can I tell you something? Some people, they get saved and they've lived out there. That's me. I lived out in the world 26 years before I got saved. And when I got saved, I started coming to church right here, sitting right there. And my wife was sitting with me. And we'd come to church and we'd hear things and we thought, now that just doesn't sound right. But you know what it was? Truth. But it didn't sit well with what we had been taught. I remember specifically, and Stacy loves this story, but brother Mickey's wife, Miss Peggy, she came up to, it was about a year after I got saved, felt like God called me to preach. And so, man, I'm amen and everything. It didn't matter what he said. I was shouting and saying amen. And he said, son, I can tell something's going on with you. I said, yeah, I felt like the Lord's called me to preach. So he was working with me and let me preach some. And then I remember Miss Peggy came up to Stacy and sat next to her and put her arm around her. If you know Miss Peggy, you know that she's just like the Holy Spirit embodied, just walking around. She's just a sweet lady. And so she came up, sat next to Stacy, put her arm around, and she said, isn't it such a blessing to be married to a preacher? And she's thinking, no, I married a soldier. I didn't marry a preacher. But I'm married to a preacher. And to submit yourself to a good man that'll lead you. And she's sitting there going, yeah, that sounds great. Yeah. I didn't see her face, but she was soon. And when Miss Peggy got up and walked off, she looked over at me and she said, don't you ever get it in your mind that that's the way this is going to work. I tell you, the deal is, the world tells you one thing, and then you enter into an environment where truth is being preached, and then you start going, it doesn't sit well. I don't feel good about what I'm hearing because it goes against what I've been told all my life. And I'm going to tell you, I tell people when they join this church, when they're new to this church, I tell them that you can ask some of them. I've told them, listen, you're going to hear something in this church down the road that you're not going to like or is going to rub you the wrong way, or you're going to think, that's not what I was always told or that's not what I always thought. You're going to have something that comes up. Can I tell you what you do? In some churches, you can't go to the preacher and say, I don't know about this. But I can tell you, in this church, you can come to this preacher and say, I don't know about this. And I'd be happy to sit down with you and talk about it. Brother Brett comes to me all the time, asks me questions after we get through. He's like, man, that was a real egg you laid today. No, he didn't do that. But he'll come up and we'll talk about a verse or something he comes up with. And I love that. I have no problem with that. It's no big deal. So the idea is you're going to hear some things. So sometimes as a brand new Christian just maturing up, you're going to hear some things that maybe you didn't hear before. Can I tell you what that is? That's called growing pains. You know, when you work out, after you work out for the first time in a long time, I can give you a testimony there. I decided the other day that I needed to work out again. I need to get in better shape. And so I got me some dumbbells and put a whole bunch of weight on there and stood in the living room in front of Stacy and was doing all my stuff. Really, that's what I did. So I was doing all my stuff and going, and all this stuff. So, but you know what? The next day, I couldn't even straighten my arms out. They hurt so bad right at the little, I was walking around like this where I was going, what's wrong with this guy? I couldn't even straighten my arms out. You know what it was? It was growing pains. It was pains that were happening in my arms because I was being pushed past my limits. I tell you, when you're in church, sometimes you're going to be pushed past your limits. And you're going to say, this hurts. Yes, but it's helping you to grow and be stronger. And that's what growing pains are. I'll just tell you this. I want you to tell you the results of what happens when you are offended. In verse number 61, they started murmuring. And that's what will happen. You'll go home, man, I didn't like this, I didn't like that, I didn't like the fact that he said this, didn't like that. And all that does is that just kind of deteriorates everybody else. Mumbling, murmuring, and complaining. And then in verse number 62, watch what he says. Jesus says to them, are you offended? What and if ye shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? So think about this for a second. He's saying this. If this offended you, wait till the next sermon I'm going to give you. He said, because if you can't, watch now, if you can't get this thing that I came from heaven, came here, if you'll believe you have everlasting life, it's going to blow your mind when I tell you that I'm going back and ascending back to where I came from. That message is really going to blow your mind. That I'm going to rise from the dead and I'm going to go back to where I came from. That will really blow your mind. Can I tell you something? When you get to the place that you're offended, you're going to stop yourself from ever hearing further things that would help you mature. You'll miss out on hearing something right now, but then you'll never grow to learn something else down the road. It'll always be, I don't like this, I don't like this, I don't like, it'll always be that way. The third thing you see in this is in verse number 66, I told you, and from that time many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Can I tell you what some people do sometimes when they hear something hard? They say, this is a hard one, preacher. It was hard. Didn't like it today. I'm gone. And there's people that bounce from church to church to church to church to church to church to church. And you ask them, why did you leave this church? Well, he said something hard, didn't like it, and left. Was it truth? I don't know. I didn't like it, and I left. Or you go to this church. Now, I'm going to tell you what will happen to you if you do that. If you're always doing that. I really feel for you if you're doing that. But here's what that'll do. That'll cause you to never grow. You're never gonna mature, you're never gonna progress. Because every time, watch now, if every time you start to do something, you go, that didn't feel too good, I'm stopping. Then you're never gonna grow. A little pain, you say, I'm done. So in church, sometimes you're gonna feel a little pain in a truth being preached to you the right way. You can feel it. And if you say, I'm done here, and you go to the next place, I'm done there, the next place, I'm done there, then you're never going to grow. You're never going to grow as a Christian. So you say, what do I do? All right, look at verse number 68. Give you the last thing. Here's this. Actually, look at verse number 67. Then said Jesus unto the 12, will ye also go away? Talks to his core group. Will you going to also go away? And watch what they say in 68. Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And we believe and are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. You know, they said, where are we going to go where we're actually going to hear truth? You know what you need to do? If you're hearing truth, you need to value the fact that you're getting truth. Yes, sir. So he says, where are we going to go? Can I tell you the answer to this whole thing about offense over truth is this. And write this verse down, Psalm 119, 165. Here it is. Great peace have they that love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Great peace. Say, how do you have such peace about what he just said? If it's in the book, it don't matter how I feel about it. It's there. And I love the law, and like they sang a while ago, I love the Lord. And it's because I love the God of the book. I love the God of the Word, and I love the Word of God. And because I love those things, that if it says something to me, I might leave here and say, preacher, that was a hard thing. But I am going to say this, but I'll submit myself to it. I'll humble myself to it, and I'll put it to practice in my life. I won't just be a hearer, but I'll be a doer of the word. And I'll put it into practice in my life, even though it rubs me the wrong way, even though you might have to get a time and you say, preacher, can I come meet with you, and can you take me to lunch and buy my lunch? I might do that. Can you take me and us talk about this and try to figure this out? I say, sure, let's do it. Let's do it. Because this is a hard thing. I tell you what you don't do, don't run off. Amen. Don't run off just because you heard a hard thing. Don't do it. Fall in love with the Word of God and the truths of God, even if they rub you the wrong way, don't let them offend you to the point that you quit coming to the truth. Let's stand on our feet. If you're not saved this morning, well, I sure wish you'd get a hold of it. You'd trust Him as your Savior. If you are saved this morning, I pray that you'd just get your seatbelt fastened when you come to church, and you'd say, there's nothing shaking me out of here. I'm gonna buckle in. I'm going to get everything I can. Even if I don't like it, I'm going to get it, and I'm going to get something from it, and I'm going to go. The guy that led me to the Lord, he told me one time, he said, going through the Christian life and studying the Bible is like eating a T-bone. He said, you eat and eat and eat until you hit a bone, go around it and eat the other side. And some of y'all are hungry. That's why you're thinking that. But the thing is, that's the way it is. You know what? You're not going to get everything the first time through. And you're going to hit some hard spots. You know what you do? Just kind of go around it and keep on chewing. Just keep on going. And you'll eventually come back to it and get that down the road. So, Lord God, Father, we come to you and we ask you to please bless. There's somebody here that's lost. I pray you deal with their heart about being saved this morning, putting their faith and trust in you and you alone for salvation like we put out this little while ago. And then, Father, that you'd please just deal with their hearts about that. And then, Father, if there's somebody here that's saved, but they're just having problems with walking with you and putting things to practice in their life, Father, I pray that you'd help them to do that. I pray you'd help them from this day forward to say, I need to mature. I need to grow up in the things of God. So I pray you'd help them with that this morning. Father, please help me to be able to preach your word. And the way you said to do it was to preach the truth in love. I pray you'd help me to do it. I pray you'd help me to be a preacher that will preach the word and reprove and rebuke and exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. I pray you'd help me to do that for them. Father, I pray we'd be a people that we want truth and not fables. That you'd please help us to be a people that grows in our knowledge of you. Father, we love you and we ask you to bless now in this invitation time in Jesus' name. Amen. What page number? 272. Page 272. This very quick invitation time, let you come and pray and sing one song, going to pray, and then we'll be done. So come pray.